When's the last time you were cuddled?
This morning.
Not by your dog. Welcome to Subscarity, the podcast about obscure subcultures. I'm Jordan.
And I'm Brenna. And today we're talking about cuddle therapy. You're a touchy-feely person. What do you feel about, like, expressing appreciation through, like, a physical expression of gratitude or love?
What?
How do you feel about hugging?
I like hugging.
Yeah, that's touchy-feely to me. Do you remember the first time you tried to hug me?
No, but I'm so glad we're going to recreate this on air.
No, it was like, I mean, something completely, like, platonic or whatever, just like, or like, nice to see you kind of thing, and like, you come to hug me and I like backed away. I was like, what are you doing? You don't remember this?
No,
I was so incredibly awkward about it.
I'm glad you agree it was you that was awkward. But it's so funny because my wife and I have the exact same story. So the first time we were talking, blah blah blah, and just friends at this point, and she said something, and it was like, it was the kind of thing that if you have no barriers to like not no barriers, but if you have just like a regular amount of okayness with some physical contact with friends, like she said something that I felt warranted being like offering a hug to, right?
Yeah.
Like, hey, that sounds really hard. Do you want to hug? Like that kind of thing. Right. And so I went to hug her and she went like stiff as a fucking board, arms like completely tucked in, like she was in a straight jacket, and it was like hugging a pole. And I was okay. I guess I shouldn't have done that. And then later she was like, "No, I like the hug." I'm like, well, "You didn't act like it." That doesn't happen anymore. But it was just that was, you know, a great way to start a potential future relationship. So it does not surprise me that I have this effect on women, and I've apparently put it out of my mind.
Well, no, for me, I feel like for a very long time, I was just not a hugger. I was not what I would call a touchy-feely person.
But you are a tree hugger.
I'm still not touchy-feely, but I think I've gotten a lot more comfortable with hugs. Like, I just never did it. I don't know, like,
yeah.
I mean, I did, or I'd just be uncomfortable, be like, oh, and I think I've gotten more comfortable with it over the years. And part of that's you, because you're like, you'll hug people to greet them or like, you know.
We've talked about this.
I know, but it was so foreign to me, and I'm a lot more comfortable with hugging now.
Do you believe now that when me and our mutual friend saw each other off an elevator, he and I just wanted to hug each other because we like each other?
I guess so. Sure.
All right. Yeah. You're really on board. I can hear.
I'm still skeptical. But anyway, what about cuddling? How do you feel about cuddling?
I like to cuddle. What are we talking about?
Do you like to be big spoon or little spoon?
Yes. I like both. Like, it's fun to hold somebody, I guess. This is so... I don't like this conversation. It's like I'm okay doing the physical act in person, but
you don't want to talk about the
right.
why behind it.
Yeah, it's intimate to say on air, but yeah.
It's a way to express your emotions in a way that isn't verbal.
Yes, that's a very good way of putting it. So thanks for making me verbalize that.
Thanks. Wrap episode. No, today we are talking about cuddle therapy.
Ah, professional cuddlers.
Professional cuddlers. And I'm sure... I feel like maybe we've talked about it before briefly, but
I cut that part from an episode we talked about on.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Because I remember we both had it on our list
I didn't have it on my list. What was it?
It might have been competitive endurance tickling where we were talking about it and it kind of came up.
It was something, and I mentioned whatever it was we were talking about reminded me of people.
Cuddle party.
Yeah. Or people who you would pay for. I think it might have been actually... professional bridesmaids because it was like the idea of paying for somebody for
a service.
Yeah. But for like non-sexual service. but like still that kind of thing that you want to have somebody you had an intimate relationship with usually. So I think I'd mentioned that and you were like, oh, it's on my list. I'm like, well, all right.
We'll cut it out.
And here we are.
And here we are with that natural segue. Cuddle parties began in New York City almost, well, what, 15 years ago now? It started in 2004, back in February of 2004. So like you described, a cuddle party, a cuddle therapy, it's evolved, which I'll get into. But it really began with the intention of letting people experience non-intimate physical touching.
So who started it, though? Was it, because it sounds like it was like a group that was doing this.
So it was started by, I'm going to butcher these names, Reed Mihalko and Marsha Bazinski.
You did butcher them, yes.
I'm sure I did. Bazinski, they're a pair of self-described relationship coaches. And they just started a group cuddle party event in New York City. And it just kind of snowballed and gained a ton of media attention. And it really kind of gave birth to this entire industry. And there are, you know, cuddle parties all across the country, including in Seattle, including in Portland, Oregon, all across the West Coast, like coast to coast, literally.
I mean, it doesn't surprise me that the Northwest has it. Right. But so I guess if I can ask for a clarification, like you keep saying cuddle party, the way I've always heard about it is like a cuddle therapist, right? Mm-hmm. Like someone you pay to act as a cuddle partner. But it sounds like this is more of like a group communal setting thing that you're not, is it that you're, are you paying for it? Like I'm trying to understand.
Yes. So both. So you can be both a one-on-one therapy type session, and it can be a group cuddle party. And that's really what it started as, was like a group cuddle party for that physical
touch.
Don't like it. And then it evolved, like when it really was pretty successful and it took off, and you know, they started it in other cities and expanded throughout the country. And after that, yeah, it's just really evolved. And so there are the cuddle parties that you do in group settings, and then you can also do one-on-one.
Is the audience majority men?
It actually didn't say that. It would not surprise me. It did say when I was reading, you know, it covers a whole gamut of people. And, you know, the typical age was mid-30s to mid-50s. And one woman who is a cuddle practitioner.
Okay, sure.
She said the clients range from people who do Burning Man to your corporate buttoned up type person. It didn't say anything about,
seems to imply men though. Yeah, just like that kind of statement. Yeah,
I could definitely see that, because it reminds me in a lot of ways, and again, this is just my own kind of speculation, this is nothing that the article drew and it the articles drew a comparison to, but it reminds me a lot of ways, like men who go to strippers like just to have conversation, because you don't have that outlet in other parts of your life. Like, I don't know, my ex dated a stripper. I remember
not you.
I'm not neither confirming nor denying.
A stripper
and what he said, she said. But like a surprising amount of people who get like the private rooms. Yes, yeah. There are guys who just want the dance and are there for the eroticism. A lot of times guys just want to have someone to talk to, and a stripper, you know, is really a captive audience, and you're paying them. So of course they're going to be there to listen. And it's like this emotional outlet for someone to talk to.
Yeah, I've heard very similar things.
You've heard, wink, wink.
If you separate out the underground prostitution, massage therapists, not all licensed massage therapists, but like very specific types of massage parlors, I think, right, is probably the right word. It's a similar thing, right? Like, I think in that case, it's often sexual contact, right, but it comes from a need that probably is more than just a desire to fulfill someone sexually, and more for the intimacy that they can get from another human being that they're not getting elsewhere.
Right. And I really think that latter part is what it boils down to, because again, I do want to emphasize, this is not sexual. We'll actually address that portion of it. Don't let me forget. but no, like I will read from cuddlist.com, which is a countrywide organization, their About Us section. So they launched in late 2015, and it was launched by Adam Lippin, so a male who is a self-described conscious entrepreneur, and Madeline Guinazzo, a consent expert.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's that's a good person to have as part of this.
Yeah. And I will say, like, there are multiple organizations and multiple people who are cuddle therapists, and consent is really at the foundation of all of this. Like, that is a huge, huge part of it. So the About Us, like, why they founded this, here's, I'll just read directly from the website. Quote, most of us don't get enough meaningful human connection in our lives. Reaching out is hard, especially when we feel vulnerable. When we don't connect, our symptoms get worse. It's even harder to reach out, and we can find ourselves in a downward spiral. A space where we can be ourselves in the company of another who is working with us to discover what helps us feel secure and connected is the purpose and mission of Cuddlist. In this place, you will reconnect with your best, most natural and alive self. You will be reminded of the innate goodness of who you are. It can be a transformative, healing experience. Cuddlist brings together those who need healthy, meaningful connection, and that would be just about all of us, with trained professional practitioners who are experienced, safe, well-versed in consent, and follow a code of conduct that sets the conditions for a great session. Yeah. End quote.
I mean, it sounds... how am I saying this? I think it fulfills a need that is clearly present in a increasingly virtual world, right? Like, one where we are, or maybe remote, whatever the right word is, one where people are more separated. Mm-hmm. Even like, I've ranted about the internet before, but like, as far as a tool for connecting to people goes,
yeah,
we're more connected, I think, conversationally, but less physically, right? And yeah. And I don't want to just talk about men specifically, but like, thinking about it specifically from a toxic masculinity perspective, there is so little physical contact, and even not even beyond physical, just like emotionally intimate contact men have outside of with a direct partner.
Yes.
Like and so that those walls that men have created for ourselves, that yeah. we've created for ourselves, I think doesn't give my gender a lot of outlets otherwise. And so it doesn't surprise me, and it makes total sense that we would have a service like this to try to fulfill needs that men don't feel safe or comfortable or whatever the right term is, obtaining from each other or from friends, family, whatever it is that isn't a partner, like a significant other type partner.
Oh, I 100% agree. And like, that was never explicitly mentioned in the articles, but I drew exactly the same conclusion, right? Like, I agree. Part of it is just kind of this digitized world we're living in. I do think, like, I'm going to sound like an old person, these young kids don't know how to communicate. But I do think, by and large, in many ways, we are getting worse at truly communicating well. And obviously all for remote work and work from home, but I do think you lose something when you're not interacting in person as much. Like, you lose some of these nuances and you lose that ability to communicate and really connect with others. And so I think that can exacerbate feelings of loneliness and isolation, as was demonstrated by COVID-19. But no, I completely agree with you. And we can get into at some point the benefits of it. Like, there are true health benefits of human touch. And what it reminds me of, I remember learning about in college at some point, they did a study way back in the 20s. This would not be, I think, sanctioned today, but just about the impacts of touch on a baby. And they had
I know.
Sorry, this is so terrible. Trigger, don't listen if you have a kid. Cut out the next like 20 seconds.
You say it to the guy with a kid.
Sorry. You got to listen to it, Jordan. But it was a study where they had all these newborns and, you know, half of them got held and nurtured on a daily basis like you
skin
would.
Skin, yeah.
And then the test group that didn't get held died. Like, it literally is critical to our survival. And I think it's kind of one of those things where obviously you can... I think talking about your feelings has become more and more accepted. I mean, I don't think we're great at it, but I think we are making strides in the mental health realm and in kind of making depression, anxiety, different mental disorders, more mainstream and more okay to talk about. We're getting, I think, a little bit better at that. But touch, I think, is still a little bit kind of taboo. And what I also find really interesting, obviously, big... proponent of consent. I do think the world we're living in now, where we have so much focus on consent, actually means we're probably touching a little bit less. And yeah. obviously you want it to be consensual. You like totally want to get that out there ahead of that. But at the same time, I think there's so much expected out of what consent means. And it's almost taken away like a natural touch that can happen between people that you just know is accepted. Not in all cases, not with like your partner, but I'll kind of go into one of the stories. A journalist, you know, she went to a cuddle therapist. So the journalist was a woman, her therapist was a woman. They like spooned. She was like, describes how it was just like a little awkward, but like she gets why it's comforting for people. And she said on the drive home, one of the things that kind of bothered her in retrospect, and she gets, it goes back to like the very important nature of consent, but her therapist throughout was like, I feel like I want to hold your hand. Would that be okay? And she said yes. And like, she would check in on her every once in a while to make sure she was comfortable. She's like, I totally think that's important in this day and age. And with some like a, something like this, a therapy like this, that's absolutely critical. However, she's like, I miss the days of, or I miss the feeling of, you just trust someone inherently, mm-hmm. so you don't have to explicitly communicate consent. It's non-verbally communicated, right? And I think people can kind of conflate those two things, but I can see that taking away an element of, I don't know, comfort or sincerity or letting your guard down. If you have to articulate it, like, I mean,
yeah,
I know it's not sexual, but like if during sex you're like, I don't know, if you just had to talk through everything, it takes you out of it.
Be explicit there, Brenna. Bo Burnham, he has a good, I'm going to paraphrase it, but like it's in regards to political correctness, and which I feel that you'll see there's a relationship to what you're talking about there. I think it was about Jerry fucking Seinfeld or Chappelle or some big comedian who's bitching about being canceled and how you can't go to a college campus because they'll throw PC-ness at you and, mm-hmm. and cancel you or whatever. And his point, Bo's, again, I'm paraphrasing, I'm trying to remember what he said exactly, but he basically says that what has happened from his perspective is that the pendulum has swung as an overcorrection in a lot of ways, right? So political correctness or in this case consent or whatever. And that to his point is that's okay, right? Like the problem was where the pendulum started.
Yes.
Right? Like it was so far in the wrong direction that yes, we might have gone a little too far, maybe, right? Especially in certain contexts like what you're describing. But it's better to be probably safe.
Yes.
than and that's what you were saying, right? Consent matters, consent matters, consent matters. But hopefully we can find a little bit back to the point where there is that level of trust where you can reach out and hug a friend or hold their hand or whatever it is and not feel like you have to say, can I do this? Can I do this? Can I do this? Right. To the point where it removes the spontaneity of the moment and replaces it with a permission gate that puts one person fully in charge of it rather than something that's like a mutual reach out to each other, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think you articulate it in a much better way, like trying to say the exact same thing I was, and I think you did it in a much better way, and I'll get back on topic here. But the other thing it's kind of reminding me of, and I'm going to misquote the statistic, but something like, you know, in light of the Me Too movement, something like 70% of high schoolers say in order to have consent to have sex, you need to have an explicit and verbal yes from both parties. And again, I agree. Like that's probably an overcorrection, like takes out the spontaneity. Like if I'm going home with someone and we're both making, like it can take out the magic of the moment, right? Like
there's body signals you should be able to read.
Yeah. Like there's a lot, but I don't think that's a bad thing. And right. I think especially at that age when you're learning about nonverbal cues and like sex is
better
such a sex is such a complicated thing. Like it's going to be awkward anyway at that age. It can be awkward at any any age. So,
can I ask you a question? When does it stop being awkward? Because just asking for a friend.
You're the one with a kid, Jordan. So you tell me.
I've had sex at least once.
At least one time.
One whole time.
So anyway, back to the topic at hand. Cool. Now I'm kind of curious how we got down that tangent.
I have more to say about it though. Sorry.
Go for it.
it's also making me think about a TV show that I am all about these days, which I know you
Ted
did
Lasso.
Not you didn't get into, but yeah, but Ted Lasso. And the one of the main reasons I love that show is, beyond the humor and blah blah blah, is that it is maybe the most like men's liberation forward TV show I've ever seen, at least in popular media,
because of his positivity and his,
it's
like,
not the wholesomeness. I think people talk about that on like, it's such a wholesome show, and I think that's overstated. What it is it's a show that is willing to say, to be a man, you do not have to have the lack of intimacy between other men.
Right.
And that like those walls are not necessary for you to succeed as a person, that it is okay to be open and caring towards people, but without saying that you can't be masculine.
Right.
They're like that show. There are like every, and it shows it's, it takes place in a men's professional sports locker room for the most part. Like that's the majority of the scenes, right? Like that is the most male dominated, most testosterone dominated space you can have. One of the key characters, my favorite character, is quite literally the definition of a overly masculine, overly tough, gruff dude. But it doesn't just kind of play up the standard trope of, oh, but on the inside, he's just like a really softy.
Yeah.
What it plays out is that his success as a person, his value as a person, is his ability to still retain those masculine qualities, but be intimate with the people around him, men and women both, mm-hmm. and his daughter, his niece, and things like that. And so the fact that the show is so adamant that that is how relationships can and should work for men is, I think, just a really positive thing to be out there in the media ecosphere. And it's the kind of thing I think that hopefully over time, if more literature and media and whatever else starts to adopt that kind of perspective, we see a reduction in the need for a professional cuddler or whatever else, right. Where, because again, and I apologize, I know I'm focused on men on this, and I'm sure. And
but you, I think, no, I think you're hitting the nail on the head though.
Yeah. It's just, I feel like it is, there is this toxic culture of patriarchal masculinity that we have created for ourselves, at least in Western Americanized culture. And it's the kind of thing that requires someone to get paid to just like show physical intimacy, right?
100%. And I think it goes back to kind of tying into your point, not just about men, but just the stigma around it.
Yeah.
And it's like, even if you're a woman hugging, it's okay, but still, like, you can't, as a whole, as a society, if you're showing that physical expression, there's something wrong. There's a negative connotation there.
And you're asking for, or like you're inviting you're inviting a certain type of relationship when you show that, especially as a woman to a man, right?
Yeah. And I think, you know, when I read about like the first time I saw something about cuddle parties, like I laughed, like that's silly. I still like, I would never do it.
I mean,
but
I
the
would feel uncomfortable with that. Yeah.
I feel super uncomfortable. I wouldn't do it. But the more I was reading about it and just, you know, it really isn't, there's no like underground sexual component to it, that at least that I found. Maybe I'm sure there's always an underground sexual component to everything,
right.
But I mean, really, it is people who are trying to get this like comfort and emotional therapeutic feeling through the sense of touch. And the more I read about it, it's just like, of course this makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I agree, it's one of those industries that really you wouldn't want to exist in the long run. Hopefully as we become more progressive as a society, there wouldn't be a need for it. Or you have it and it's just accepted because it's just like, oh yeah, we all need like touch and human connection.
Yeah, I think that's a very good way of putting it, right? Like it's not necessarily a negative to have it exist. But it's the same kind of thing. It's like prostitution, like, or legalizing sex work, right? Like if two consensual people want to do that, great. I have no problems with it, you know, as long as it's protected and regulated in a way that people are being safe and not trafficked and whatever else. But at the same time, it's like the underlying reason for that comes from like innate human needs or desires or whatever it is, and that aren't being fulfilled, or at least from, you know, in most cases. And so that to me is kind of the sadder state of it. And at least, and especially with this, with a just people who feel so alone. And I'm probably over imagining some of their turmoil, but you know, I can't speak obviously for any, you haven't even talked about these people yet, but like, I'm just imagining like to be in that situation, what I would feel like. And yeah, that's, I keep getting caught in that rabbit hole.
No, I think, I really do think it's very true. And I'll kind of go back to how the New York Times summarized it. And it's what we talked about, but their quote is, you know, think of it as a blend of talk therapy, yoga, and improvisational body work, the free jazz equivalent of massage. And then another article said, they were talking to a woman who is a cuddle therapist, and she said it can be stigmatized because people are going to conflate it with sex work, right? Yep. And the stigma, the stigma around sex work itself can also discourage people from seeking out cuddlers or breed unsafe practices and environments, even if therapeutic cuddling is not meant to be romantic or sexual. So that's why, you know, having this training, like these trainings, because they do offer trainings for people to become professional cuddlers. So having access to a place that has standard equality, practice, procedures, and accountability is unique and valuable. And I will say, for all the organizations I kind of looked at online, they're all very progressive. They're all like a safe space, of course, saying, you know, all bodies, all religions, all races. You know, if you're trans, like everyone is accepted. And like, that is such a core foundation of all of the professional cuddling. And I think it's a common theme we talk about for some of the subcultures, but just people who might not feel accepted in standard walks of life, you know, in the mainstream, like that's their outlet. You can just go where it's truly a free and open society of sorts.
Yeah. And, you know, to contradict myself earlier, like, I think it's great that they have that outlet. I can't imagine myself being comfortable.
No, God, no.
Yeah. Right. Like for me, you started this by making fun of me for being a physically affectionate person, but like that physical affection has to come with two people that I feel, you know, like a personal relationship with. I can't imagine cuddling a stranger. I think I would, every internal wall would be up.
Same. And like, I don't know if I would want that. I also feel like it's kind of against human nature, right? Like beyond kind of our built-in biases.
Stranger danger.
But like, really, like you're not, I do think there is kind of an inherent like stranger danger and like, this is uncomfortable. That is okay. And isn't just like a toxic result of our society. But no, I started by making fun of you for being touchy feely, like, you know, can't let you be a man, but in this world and express emotion. But no, I say it like jokingly, because I look at myself and when I was younger, I definitely leaned on, I'm tough, I don't cry. Like it was better not to show emotion, right? And just to be tough. There's something more socially acceptable. And that's like a badge of honor I wore for a long time. And I've definitely gotten way more open with my emotions. And
okay, you're an emotional train wreck now. Cannot handle you.
Really? Really? But I feel that clear and open communication is like one of the most foundational things to expressing your emotions and like feeling emotionally free. And, you know, touch goes along with it. So I don't know. It's just a different expression of your emotion.
You know, I'm trying to remember that time you decided to walk over from your microphone to mine to tickle me and how much I disliked being touched in that moment.
Well, because that was like awkward, right? And I was thinking the same thing as I was reading it. Like the more I read about it, the more I was like really on board with it. Like, okay, this really isn't like, again, you're consenting adults. Like, why not? And same thing. I put myself in that situation. Like I couldn't do it because I have grown to be much more comfortable with physical touch and expression of emotion. This is where I was trying to go earlier. But again, like I wouldn't want to do it with a stranger. Like I need that to be with someone who I have an existing foundation of trust.
Yeah, that makes sense.
For my next portion of this episode. For my next illusion. I want to talk about one professional cuddler who was interviewed as part of a New York Times article. So as I mentioned, this has been around for about 15 years now, and it really, like a lot of the articles I found were from around 2014, 2015, right when it was kind of hitting its peak in terms of media picking it up. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like every person we talk about just has a really, you know, unique name. And yet again, another one I'm going to butcher. Brianna Quijada.
Okay. If your name is John Smith. Can you get some really interesting, like, subcultural hobby type stuff? Because we just want to talk about you and your stuff. We get you.
Maybe there's like a correlation between, like, you don't have a common name, so you have to have some, you know, like, it leads to you're being ostracized as a young kid, so you have to find an outlet elsewhere.
Ooh.
Bam, that's a hypothesis for you.
That's a sad comment on racism and everything else in America.
Oh God. All right. Well, back to not racism in the world of
back to cuddling.
So they interviewed Brianna. At the time the article was written in 2016, she was 30 years old, a native of Tempe, Arizona. And in 2008, she moved to Queens, and she was a vegan restaurant manager by day and professional cuddler by night.
Those two do seem like they would go together.
Right. And she got into it completely unexpectedly, which I feel is like very New York. A friend just one day said, I think you might like going to a cuddle party. And she was like, that's the thing. And then welcome to the world of cuddling.
I feel like that's how people say they got into stripping or OnlyFans or whatever, too.
Cult.
Or a cult. That's true. My friend just said I should. And I was like, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah, no, 100%. But she said she was intrigued because, you know, she enjoys touch, and she's like, it seemed like a safe way to explore that. It seems weird to think that if I wasn't in a monogamous relationship and wasn't having sex, I wasn't getting that kind of touch. You're preaching to the choir, Brianna. But she said,
it's been a long COVID.
It's a long pandemic. But you know, she goes on to say that when she experiences consensual touch, she is more in her body. She's more comfortable. She has a feeling of being understood. And this kind of segues into what the actual health benefits are, but it raises your oxytocin. It calms your fight or flight response. And at the same time, there's this feeling of vulnerability. So she says it's just this really interesting, complex way to connect.
Yeah. I mean, that tracks with every time I've cuddled.
Like, no, that sounds right.
Yeah. And again, I can't imagine doing that with a stranger.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah. But, or even someone I'm not.
Wait, if you did intend, like, even with your wife, if you were both like, hey, do you want to go cuddle right now? Like, I feel like that would only be preempted by like a really emotional situation or something. Like, hey, would it, like, I don't know. Like, I'm just thinking, even in the most intimate relationship, which is going to be your partner, right? You know, cuddling, it kind of, and it's another thing, it just happens. You don't plan it, right? Or do you?
No, we don't have it on the calendar.
Are you sure? Every Saturday at 6 p.m.
We don't schedule. I mean, I'm sure there are people who need to schedule those kind of intimate times and moments, and
yeah.
I respect that. But no, we do not. No, but I just mean, like, I get, like, I'll hug a friend, but I wouldn't cuddle a friend, and I wouldn't cuddle a stranger. Like, and I'm not saying that cuddling is sexual, like,
it feels very intimate, more intimate than what's normally accepted.
It feels more relationshipy than friendshipy.
Agreed. But it, like, her comment about being more in her body, you know, I do yoga. I've mentioned it before.
You're a white woman. I know.
I'm a white woman. Love it. Became a yoga teacher. Hashtag certified. But I mean, when I first got into yoga, I mean, there's so much when you haven't done it before, just talking about the breath work, and they're trying to narrate when you inhale and you exhale, and you're just trying to focus on the next move. And so, and usually the teacher, depending on where you go, is kind of offer some sort of, you know, thoughts beyond just the teaching. They're probably interspersing like a story or a narrative or something like quote unquote inspirational, blah, blah, blah throughout. But a big thing in yoga is being in your body. And a lot of that is focusing on your breathing and really bringing attention to different muscle groups, different body parts that you wouldn't normally in your day to day. And that literally took me, like, I remember the first couple of years, I was just like, I don't get it. Right. Like, whatever.
That's my phase of yoga right now.
But like, literally it took years of practice to really start to recognize and tune in to what's going on in my body. And like, it goes on to, let me find, I wrote down the benefits, but beyond, you know, releasing oxytocin, this is a really good therapeutic way for people who might have a history of trauma to reintroduce touch and like safe touching, because it's going to help them withstand stress. Like, they can communicate their boundaries.
Controlled environment.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad they have that.
Yeah. No, I like, really, like, truly, the more I read about it, I was like, no, this is okay. So
I'm glad you're telling me all this too, that it's at least what you found so far. And it sounds, I mean, to be fair, it does sound like a lot of this is self-reported.
Yeah.
Right. But like it's nice to hear that it isn't just an underground sex ring type thing, because like what I'd cut out of a previous episode that I was mentioning is that our when we worked together, our office building had a like cuddle clinic or whatever you would call it in one, on one of the floors.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So
I forgot about that.
Yeah. So like on one of the floors, there was a place where people would go to be professionally cuddled or receive cuddle therapy or whatever. And I just remember what you would just see, just random people, like you'd be in your business attire going to work and there would be just
looking
a random
professional,
random person with their Pikachu backpack, just like, you know, going up the elevator to go get cuddled and back. And, you know, they always seemed like they were, they would, people who were leaving always seemed to be in a very good mood is what I remember.
Yeah. And I kind of thought the same thing. I was like, oh God, there's going to be like this underground sexual element, like kind of with competitive endurance tickling. I really thought that was going to end up being a hilarious, all about tickling. And you're like, oh, lo and behold, it's kind
it's
of this exploitative.
It's just a sexual thing.
It's just sex, which yeah. I feel like a lot of these things can turn out to be. But that is a nice segue into what happens when you get sexually aroused.
So basically what you're asking is if you're the big spoon and you have a peepee, what happens?
Yeah. So, I mean, basically all of the sites acknowledge it, like sexual arousal happens. It's a natural human reaction. The idea is not to encourage or manipulate it simply, but or like by changing positions. So like when, if and when.
Sorry, the way you describe that, encourage or manipulate.
Don't
it.
Encourage the sexual
don't,
arousal.
Don't encourage it.
Don't encourage that surprise boner. Just be like, maybe we should take a break and talk about how we're feeling in the moment can help redirect our energy back to agenda-free cuddling.
Yeah. I'm curious. So that advice is given to the person who is there for the therapy or to the cuddle therapist on how to deal with that situation?
Yes.
Okay. The reason I ask is because I know like professional licensed massage therapists, they receive like training, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
In the sense of if for specifically for men, if they were to get aroused, like just, you know, recognize it as a natural reaction, but, you know, try to both the person and the massage therapist should try to avoid amplifying the situation.
Correct. Right? You don't want to have a happy ending situation in our hands.
I mean, I guess this goes without saying. Yeah. That, but my point is like, it's that same kind of thing where it's like, it's a non-sexual contact.
It's like, it really is just a natural human reaction sometimes.
Thank you for defending all men's boners everywhere, Brenna.
Mm-hmm. Anywho. So on a slightly more topical note, I was really surprised to learn that the cuddle industry adapted quite well to COVID.
That is strange. So what, just fully masked the whole time?
No. So there is actually a place in Renton, Washington, very close to us called Spoons with a Z, S-P-O-O-N-Z.
Clutter.
And so I think a lot of the physical kind of brick and mortar practices, like that one went under during COVID, other ones kind of shut down. But a virtual cuddle industry was born since loneliness increased during COVID. Do you want to know how that worked? Because I was like, wait, I was like scrolling through articles, like how the fuck virtual cuddling, like
this,
tell me
this
how
this goes back to the whole, this defeats the purpose to me. Like I thought the whole point was that we aren't getting physical contact.
So, the way like the, a couple examples like this woman provided was, you know, they adapted by doing different games. So the first exercise she kind of described was called waking up the hands game, in which, you know, she and her client would explore the sensation of touch by they would each hold like the same random household object. And, you know, you would talk about it. Obviously, it's not the same thing as like being spooned and having someone hug you, but it's like introducing that sense of awareness and presence into your body and what you're touching and what you're feeling. And then she said another virtual technique is mirror touch, where the client follows the cuddle therapist's lead to touch themselves gently, like cupping your own face. And when a client sees this happening and they also feel the action, their brain can make those connections and produce the same oxytocin. So I would say probably not the same, but I don't think my mind would have come up with those solutions on its own. So
yeah, right. yeah, it doesn't seem the same at all to me. It's porn versus sex kind of thing, like, right? But at the same time, it makes sense that like if you are able to get some sort of psychological benefit from it, it's got to be better than dwelling on things alone without anybody else. Like, yeah, it makes like the, I mean, it just sounds
it's
like
a form
of therapy.
Yeah, yes, 100%. And I do want to end on kind of a more humorous note. So it was an article written by, and I wasn't sure if the person who wrote it was a man or a woman, but they went to a cuddle party in New York and wrote about how it was a 3-hour event. So it was not the one-on-one therapy, but it was one of the group events, and how it started with about like 45 minutes of, you know, introductions, going over consent, rules and boundaries. But for this situation, in this group setting, people would go up to each other and ask. So you would like partner up and like move on to someone else kind of thing. And no one wanted to cuddle with this person.
Yeah, I was about to ask, but that's kind of
so awkward for 3 hours. So the way I want to wrap it up is a quote from this person who said, "I've never been to an orgy, but I have to believe it's less awkward than a cuddle party. With orgies, you know what you're getting into."
Yeah.
And that's cuddle therapy. Do you have an obscure subculture we should know about, or just want to ask us a question? Or are you, like me, someone who hasn't felt the touch of another human being in the long 2 years since COVID began? Then you can find us on Instagram at Subscurity Podcast. Our Twitter handle is at Subscurity Pod, or our website is subscurity.com. You can also email us directly at subscurity@gmail.com. Our intro and outro music is the instrumental of We're Better Together by Go Mordecai. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.